Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hi everyone, welcome to another week of Gee Thanks Just Bought It. I'm your host Caroline Moss, and this week we welcome Samantha Irby to the podcast. She is the author of her latest book, Wow No Thank You. You know it as Gee Thanks Just Bought It's official first book club pick. It's a perfect read during these hellish times. Samantha, welcome.
Caroline, thank you for having me on your illustrious podcast, which I do listen to because, I mean, people who know me know I love to buy shit and I love people's recommendations. So
hell yeah,
I'm an avid listener and purchaser.
I'm so happy. That is so lovely to hear. As another, obviously, a fellow human who also loves to buy shit and will literally buy anything anyone tells me to buy. That makes me so happy. I feel like I knew, I feel like I kind of felt, even like the opening chapter of your book where you're talking about like just watching people on Instagram kind of like show their, you know, what's on their dressers or like what's in their bathroom, and you being like, should I buy that? Do I need that? Will that make me a better person? I was like, ooh, this person's my friend.
Yes. And I really do like all I want to, most of the, I don't know, I shouldn't say most because it makes me sound like a vapid idiot, but I follow a lot of those accounts that are like, here's just a flat lay of stuff that I maybe put on my face. You don't even see them putting it on. You just see that they've like artfully arranged it, and that's all I ever want to look at.
I agree. Like, right, it's like, oh, this perfect like non-dusty countertop that you're photographing on top of. Mm-hmm. I can't relate, but I so desperately want to relate. Yep. No, I totally get it. What's the last thing? I know that's not the thing that you brought, but what's the last thing that you bought because someone on Instagram artfully displayed it?
Well, this is going to be like kind of a letdown, but well, I don't know, maybe because it's not like that beautiful, but I saw in somebody's spread some Paula's Choice exfoliating toner solution situation. Sure. And all I ever want is to put something on my face that like stings and feels like it's doing something.
Yep.
And that's like the perfect stuff. She also had, I wish I remember what account it was, but she also had like reusable, like washable facial rounds. You know, she's like,
incredible.
I care about the environment.
Right.
And I'm like, oh man, I guess I don't, because I just have those like long tubes of them that you get from CVS.
Yeah, for 99 cents. Yeah.
So I bought some reusable rounds that now I'm like,
Mother Earth.
I used it once and I washed it, and then I was like, is this actually clean? And then like went back to cotton. But this like pore solution really does like, you know, for the first 3 minutes after I put it on, I'm like, oh my God, my skin is so like shiny and tight and youthful.
I love toner for that exact reason. It's like, I want to feel my $7 from CVS working on that face. Like,
yes.
I buy the up, you know, the Up and Up Target brand of toner.
Yes.
But I do put it on. That's a big part of my skin routine also, just because it, you're right, it's like the one thing that I use that actually feels like it's working. Like,
yes.
You're doing the job I paid you to do.
Yes. But it's like the least sexy of the facial things, right? Because cleansers are like foamy and sexy, and you can like rub them in like a sexy way on your face. And like oils and serums, same thing. Moisturizer, same thing.
Yep.
And then here's like toner, the actual workhorse, which you have to like slough onto your face.
Yeah, it's like you're literally bleaching your face. Like, I'm going to start taking my, like, if I had extra Clorox wipes to spare, I'd probably just start wiping my face with those. Like,
yes, yes.
Just for good measure.
I love the feeling of the cotton disintegrating as I really grind it into my gigantic 40-year-old pores.
Mind you, I have the biggest pores on my nose, and I also am like, I probably am at this point 80% cotton because it's probably like still in my nose. Like, the pores haven't gotten smaller because of the toner. It's the cotton is filling them. Yeah. like a manhole on the street. Yeah. And I'm like, I'm the picture of beauty. But you know what? We haven't seen any humans in so long. So it's like, if you can just get the right filter on your face, no one's ever going to see your pores again for horrible reasons, but it's maybe the silver lining.
I will take it. So when we first went into lockdown, I mean, my like gleeful, you know, watching the hot takes roll in, I was like, when are we going to get the article that is like how to do your makeup for Zoom? And truly, like 2 days after I was going to say immediately. Like, yeah. There was like the best products to make yourself really shine on Zoom. The best product for Zoom is getting a like amazing new computer that actually like makes you, you know, isn't covered with like peanut butter or whatever is on my camera.
That first little shiny layer. But the peanut butter is sort of like a DIY filter. It's like, oh, are you there? It's like, oh, you know, I'm still here. You know, Zoom. What I learned, because I actually did click on the like Tom Ford's tips for like looking hot on Zoom, I haven't put on a bra in a month, so I don't know what I'm thinking I'm going to get out of this, because I'm like, I'm not willing to actually change my habits. So like, oh, okay. Like, but like, honestly, the Tom Ford's tips was like, use Tom Ford's translucent powder. And I was like, oh, okay, this is an ad. And I clicked on it anyway. But there, apparently in Zoom, there is a setting that like you can go and it says like, you know, like, make my appearance like look bad. It like puts a soft filter on you. Like you can, you can literally like change a setting in Zoom, which I like appreciate, because it's like Zoom knows what the people want. It's like, yeah, give me the soft focus, like pretty filter from Snapchat on my work camera, and like I'll pay you as much money as I have. It's not that much, but I'll give it to you. I will give you my $11.
I'm going to do that, because like if I just had like work Zooms, that would be one thing, because like everybody at work already knows like how ugly and greasy you are, so it doesn't matter. But all my Zooms are like, please tell people to buy your book.
Yes.
And like, I need a filtered, beautiful, like people don't want to buy ugly people shit. So I'm already like, you know, it's tough. It's a tough stuff. I'm like, please, I know I'm ugly. Please buy it. It's funny. But on Zoom, like when they actually can see my face, it's harder. I'm like, no, it really is funny. Please just like squint. So now
take off your glasses. Take out your contacts. Yeah. Move 40 feet away from the computer.
Across the room.
I love that.
And just listen to me talk. So now I'm going to try that filter shit.
It's good.
I want that. It's
just like, I'm also going to send you when we're offline. I'll put this in the show notes too. I did read this like very kind of in-depth article about like how to light your face correctly, and I like moved some desk lamps over to my work desk and was like, trying it out. It does actually really help. I was gonna say, so like I used to take these dance classes when I lived in New York, but I wear glasses, but I would not wear my glasses during the dance class, and I looked amazing when I was dancing because it was just a blur of a human. Like I'd look in the mirror and I'm like, oh yeah, you got the moves, but then I've put on my glasses and it's like, I did not.
That's
have
incredible.
The moves. Has it been that weird?
That's like a genius hack.
Life hack, take off your glasses. Like, it's all just, I was going to ask you, what's it like having a book come out? I mean, look, you were what, number one on the New York Times bestseller list this week, we're taping this. I mean, so I was going to say, has it been hard to have a book come out during this, but you're doing fine, but has it been different? Because I mean, you've gotten all these opportunities with your last two books to actually sort of like be able to be present for the publicity part of it. Like, has it been weird just to rely on the fact that you're like, I hope people are reading right now, and
yeah,
I hope they're reading me.
It's like twofold. I do miss the hugging. Like, I enjoy the going to a bookstore and like reading for 20 minutes and then like sweatily hugging everyone came out and wants like to hug. So I miss that, although I hate traveling. So I'm like, well, at least I don't have to like dash through an airport and like poop on a plane or whatever. So, yeah. so that's like kind of good and bad. The hard thing is like trying to strike a delicate balance between like peddling myself, which is what you have to do. You just have to be everywhere. And especially with books, because like the next book, you know, more books come out the next week. So it's like, you know, I got to get everything in while I can before people like forget about me or I look desperate. So it's like striking that delicate balance between like, please buy this thing. I made it for you. It's great. And being like, okay, I understand we are in a crisis. I think the one thing that has saved me from feeling like a gross monster is that the book is funny. Yes. And I can say like, if since you're stuck at home, if you need a laugh, like this book is all comedy bits and jokes. Like there's nothing that's going to bring you down.
Yeah.
Yeah. Unless like you hate me, then like, you know, please skip it. It's not going to make you feel better.
The one caveat is if you do, you dislike me as a person, you will not like this book. No, yes. it's really true. I told you this like multiple times. Like I peed my pants the first time I picked it up, which was pre-pandemic. And then like a few weeks ago when I decided to make this the book club pick, it was because I was like in such a hole of like depression and like I couldn't stop like doom scrolling Twitter and I, like every link was like people are dead and like this is horrible and like our president's a moron and I was like I need something else and like I picked up your book and I started peeing again and it was like the rivers like flow. I was just like, this is the funniest thing I've ever. And also you and I have that in common in that like our bladder, I have also a weak pelvic floor and every time I sneeze I pee, so like I really relate on so many levels to a lot of the stuff you're writing, but it's just like so funny to it makes it funnier now. Like nothing in the world is funny right now. Like it's truly horrible. And to be able to pick up a book that is so funny and has nothing to do with this and is like just so enjoyable has been such a treat. So you have done us a real service. I can't believe you planned this pandemic. God. Honestly.
Here's the thing. I call myself dumb just to distract people from the fact that I am capable of biological warfare.
We knew it.
In order to to steer sails.
Look, people have done far worse in life. I feel like this is just an incredible, you know, hats off to your marketing team. A real feat.
They work really hard.
They did it. We really appreciate it. We're going to take a quick break and we will be right back with Samantha Irby's recommendation this week on G-Thanks Just Bought It. Okay, we're back. Samantha, you love buying stuff. You're easily, you know, by your own admission, easily influenced.
Yes.
What did you bring for me this week? What did you bring for the podcast?
Okay. So I buy many things. Targeted Instagram ads are truly like my kryptonite. Like I'm the person they exist for. But in choosing something for today, I wanted it to be on brand, if you will. And I chose the Tushy travel bidet.
Oh my God.
It is, so it's made of this, okay, it's kind of like an expandable water bottle.
Okay.
That's made out of this silicone that feels like really good to hold.
Okay.
So you stretch it open and there's a lid. Uh-huh. You unscrew the lid. You fill it with water, and then there's a little, like, nozzle, spout. I don't really know what they call it. I should have looked that up. And it's got three little holes in it. And so you put the cap back on once you fill it up with water. And then after you poop, you you choose whatever angle works best for you. And you just kind of squeeze it. And it sprays three little streams at your butthole and then you keep squeezing until you're clear.
Oh.
Okay. First of all, I didn't really think about this, but now with the toilet paper shortage, I mean, truly,
yeah,
this thing will come in handy.
Absolutely.
I first got it around Christmas time, and I was thinking, like, with all the traveling I would have to do for the book, like, you know, an airport dingleberry, no one wants to sit on the plane with that. So I was like, I'll get this little thing.
And the
airport bathroom is like I just let my hair down in there, right? Because people really do, like, just bathe in the sink. They do whatever they have to do before they get on a plane.
Nuts.
I understand.
Yeah.
Yes, I truly understand. So I was like, it won't be weird for me to fill this thing up and,
sure,
like, spray my asshole in a stall at Dulles. So I didn't get to tour, but I do use it at home.
Yeah.
And it's, like, it's pretty genius.
I mean, looking at it online right now, it looks like a cool water bottle, so you could literally be, uh-huh, carrying it around. Everyone's like, oh, cool water bottle, and you're like, thanks, it's my bidet. And it's like $30, like,
yes,
which is exactly how much you want to pay for a travel bidet.
Yes, and it's, like, easy, wow, to clean, because I know, like, that's another thing, like, traveling with something specifically for your butt is like, oh, should I? But it's easy to clean. It dries quickly.
Incredible.
It comes with a little carabiner attached, like, if you really want to.
Like a real hiker. Like you're a woodsman.
Yeah, show people your bidet. I imagine that kind of thing is for people who go camping, which is something I would never,
sure,
do.
Literally, so never.
Yeah, it would not occur to me to use it for that, but the carabiner makes it look like sporty and outdoorsy.
Yeah, yeah. Picture
if you're into that kind of thing.
I love this. I think this is genius. I mean, I wish we were traveling more, because I would schedule trips just to use the bidet. I wouldn't even care about where I was going. It's like. Do you have a bidet at home?
No, and okay. I think they make an, like, attachable to the toilet version,
mm-hmm,
which I should really invest in. I have to say, I don't love having a wet butt, which is why I haven't invested in one,
sure,
at home. And also, here's when, like, people come over, I don't want to explain 100 times, not that we have so many guests, but, like,
yeah,
you know, explaining to people what that weird thing attached to your toilet is,
sure,
it's just, I don't want to do that. But I do, like, on the road, and you don't even have to be, like, on the road, just out and about, when your butt, like, just doesn't get as squeaky clean,
I love that,
as you want it, it's,
yeah,
just miserable.
Well, it's funny because we're, like, one of the only countries that, like, really doesn't do bidets. Like,
right,
we, like in the Western world, like, Europe is, like, all in on the bidet.
Mm-hmm.
It does clean a lot better. I mean, imagine taking a shower. Like, there's a reason why we don't just, like, rub paper towels all over our body and call it a day. Like, water does do the trick. It's funny,
yes,
though, because the first time I used a bidet that, like, was, like, when I was in college and, like, went to Europe, and, like, it was, like, we're like, oh, this is a joke. But now, as an adult, like, my friends have one in New York, and I, like, used it because it's, like, in their house. And I, like, actually have the opposite reaction, which is I was like, oh, my God, thank God one of my friends has one. Now I can, like, come over here and, like,
yes,
when I'm at their house, like, try it out. So I feel like you should get one, because I think people would actually secretly be really into it. But it's funny because it works so much better. Like, toilet paper is actually, like, the gross thing that we do. Like,
yes,
we've all convinced ourselves that, like, getting too clean is disgusting. Like, we just want to, like, use toilet paper. Thank you very much. And now there's,
yeah,
a shortage. So you're really prepared.
So I used to use, like, the wet nap kind of cloths, like, when I lived alone.
Mm-hmm.
But then, like, you hear that those are, like, so bad for the plumbing and stuff. So I stopped. But I have not graduated to, like, a full a full bidet. And the attachment, I don't know. I feel like it has to be the real thing or nothing, which is why I haven't done the attachment. But this is like a little way to kind of have one, and, you know, get yourself clean on the move. Because sometimes at home, I have it. I mean, this is probably going to get too deep for people, but I have my system pretty well trained to go in the morning before I take a shower. So then I do wash my hands. I saw a debate on Twitter about whether you should wash your hands after you poop if you're going to get in the shower. And the answer is yes.
I can't imagine like the argument for not. Like what? Like
people are just disgusting.
Oh, it's so, I mean, this, and this truly in these times, I want to imagine that, because you and I have been talking about having you come on the show for like such a long time, like before all of this, but because you were going to be on tour for the book, we were like trying to figure out a time that would work. I want to imagine that this was going to be your recommendation all along. And it just like fits into the theme now, because it's like, well, no one has toilet paper anymore or whatever. But like this whole crisis is truly unmasking, in a way that I don't like, how gross people really are. Like, have you noticed, I think we've talked about this before on an episode, but I just want to bring it up again because I can't get over it. Have you noticed how many men are like, whoa, my hands are so dry? I'm like, have you ever washed your hands before? Like, they're like, oh, I need like a moisturizer or something. My hands are so dry from washing my hands so much. It's like the first time they've ever come in contact with soap. And they're like tweeting about it. Like,
you know what that makes me think about? How many people don't moisturize.
Yes.
Like the constant washing, I'm like, oh, okay, maybe they were dirty before, but they definitely were dry and ashy.
Yeah.
Because all of the people who are like, I don't know what to do about my dry hands.
It's like there's a whole
lotion. There's a whole
product. I mean,
it's an aisle at the, it's a whole Target aisle of things to rub on your dry body. It doesn't feel dry. That's the thing that's killing me, is the people who are like, I don't know what to do about being dry. And I'm like, we truly could like maybe not leave the house for lotion for easily more than a year.
Totally.
I mean, it's like there is a lotion on every flat surface in this house before all of the hand washing.
Absolutely.
We just like to be moisturized. So like, as shocking as the washing is to see that people are unused to it, the moisturizing is even more shocking to me.
I feel like it's like Black people and women are like, yes, we've known about the lotion. Like we, welcome. It is truly like that. The only people on Twitter I've seen who are like truly like screaming about this are like all of my Black friends and like all of my female friends. And everyone else is like, it just seems like an unsolvable problem. There's nothing out there that could potentially help this. Someone should invent something. And meanwhile, like everyone else is like screaming at the top. Like I literally found like a hand moisturizer like in the glove compartment of my car that I haven't seen in like 6 months, but it's because I have a lotion tucked in every crevice of like every single bag, every single bag. Pocket. Like there's a lotion in like some sort of travel size, big size in the bathroom. We've got the Costco size. I am like slathered. I can't even get my clothes on after I shower. You have to just like wait until. And you know what? I didn't complain about how much I was washing my hands because I was moisturized. And I'm glad to hear that you were too. And it's, I think it's telling that people are okay to tweet about it, because I think it's embarrassing. And I think it's like, you know what? You want to admit that you're dry? That's fine. You want to admit that you don't know what lotion is? I know we're living in like a lawless land right now, but I think that people should have a little bit more humility about the things that they know and that they don't know. And
I think people assume that they are the standard. I always assume if I'm like, oh my God, my feet, what is this green? Yeah, I don't know. What is this slime growing on them? I don't assume that everyone has green slime and can relate to me if I tweet it.
Right.
I assume that I am the one with green slime feet, and I quietly to myself Google how to treat it.
Right.
I would never just post, oh God, this gross thing about me. That must be happening to you too.
Like, no, who doesn't know this I would feeling? But I kind of, but I also, like, on the flip, kind of appreciate that, like, that's where we've evolved. Because, you know, in sixth grade when I were, I don't know how old I was when I got my period. I don't know, 12 or 13. It's like, I got my period and I'm like, I must be the only one. Like, this is just a thing that happens to my body specifically. And, like, wouldn't talk about it with my friends because, like, didn't know how to talk about it. And meanwhile, like, right, it's like tweeting, like, hey, does anyone else notice that this, like, oozy shit comes out of your body? Oh, just me? Cool. Okay, yeah. Like, it's like, oh, like, we're very comfortable. Like, Twitter has become a Google of sorts. Like, it's just like, oh, let's just, everyone want to weigh in on my weird body, like, like, things coming out. Anyone? My pores? Yep. But, like, meanwhile,
I'm like, some things you got to say for the group chat, which is what I do.
Or the therapist.
I'm like, guys, I have weird hair in this place. You? Oh, no? Okay. Gonna keep that to myself maybe go to the doctor.
My account was hacked. Who said that?
I do not want to tell the world.
I do really appreciate, though, that we are all equalized. All women are equalizing right now on this front of, like, we're all going to emerge from this, like, in desperate need of, like, an eyebrow and lip wax and a pedicure. And, like, there's no, I mean, I can do, like, a manicure at home and, like, deal with it. But, like, there's just no replacement for someone who actually knows how to do a pedicure. Like, you can slough some nail polish on your toes, and then again from far away, from, you know, 5 feet up, looks pretty good. But, like, I can't wait to, like, get some actual work done when this is when this ends. I can't wait to get, like, the hair off my face. I bleach my hair blonde, so that's gonna be interesting. Like, when I come out of my house in a year and half my hair is, like, very dark brown and half of it is, like, you know, peroxide.
I mean, are
color.
are you ready for that? Have you, like, emotionally grappled?
Oh, I'm so ready. Like, okay, I'm stewing. It might be the thing that takes my marriage down, and I know that you're married too, so, like, you get it. Like, someone else, like, you're like, no one's seeing me, and then there's, like, someone else in your house who's like, I am actually seeing you right now.
Yeah.
But
I'm watching your full transformation into
Yeti.
A sloth.
Yeah. Like, I feel very, I feel more at home with myself in this state than, I'm actually kind of surprised at how good this feels. So I think I'll be very excited, you know, too, for the day that, I mean, look, also, a lot of these things are also in my control. Like, I have a razor. I could shave my legs. I'm just not going to do it. But, like, but, like, I will appreciate, like, the day one out when it's, like, you know, you're like a slick shaved, pedicured, waxed human. But then I know a week later I'll be like, I want to go back to the pandemic when we weren't doing this. Like, I don't want to spend any money to wax my eyebrows anymore.
Yeah.
So who knows?
I am an advocate of the not doing things.
Yeah.
So I am, this is just my natural state.
Love
and
it.
I love seeing everyone else get here and recognize that, like, this is the way to be. Because the thing is, if we all stop, I mean, there's always going to be one person who's, like, waxed like a mannequin and, like, you know, trussed up. But if most of us, like, just kind of keep riding this, like, braless, bearded wave,
these are the new beauty standards.
Yeah, maybe we won't have to go back.
Maybe we won't. Do you have one thing? So for me, my one thing is I really do wash and dry. When I wash my hair, I dry my hair. And I cannot do, some people are like, oh, I have to get dressed in the morning. No, I don't. I could literally get in the shower and then put on the same pajamas I've had on for, like, 2 weeks.
Me too.
And feel nothing. But I have to dry my hair. It makes me feel clean. It makes me feel, it's like the minimum thing I can do. Do you have, like, one thing that you are not giving up on?
I am still, so I sometimes, a lot of times, shave my head.
Yeah.
And when my hair grows, it's like corkscrew kind of twisty curls.
Nice.
It's too much for me to deal with. But I can't go to the barber, so my hair is getting long, and I have been doing my very tedious hair moisturizing and styling every single day.
Wow. What is the process?
So I have to, I've gotten it down. I wash it with a like a Lush shampoo bar,
Nice.
which I do splurge on those. I like to pretend I care about the environment, but only when it comes to like
You, right.
overpriced
Right. You're like, this is actually charity that I'm doing here.
So then it's like wash my hair in the shower, dry towel, dry it, and then I use this like Cantu moisturizing cream. So the extra step, and I would have chosen this if it weren't so niche as my product, but I use this thing called a twisted up comb. It's
Okay.
not a comb at all. It looks like a little tennis racket, and it's for natural black hair. And you take it, I'll send you a picture of it. You take it and you kind of like rub it around in
Oh, I'm
circles
Googling it right
on
now.
your
Oh,
hair. Yep.
cool.
You rub it around in circles on your hair and it makes little twists. Like it really defines your little corkscrew twists. And it takes my hair from like dry looking puffy cotton ball to like these defined coily twists that are like very cute.
Yep.
It doesn't take a long time, but it takes longer than like having a shaved head takes, because
Yeah.
then I just kind of like wash my scalp and put a little product on it to keep it from looking dry.
I'm looking at the
So
before and afters of people using the twisted up comb, and it like this makes so much sense to me. Like,
it's incredible.
yeah, I know, I now understand how many people I probably know who use one, because like
Yes.
it, no, it's like the same, it's like it goes from like a frizzy sort of like one unit sort of
Yep.
hair to like
Yep.
actually individualized pronounced corkscrew coil.
Yes.
Oh, this is cool, and it does look like a tennis racket.
Yeah.
I
It the
love
first
that.
time my barber, so I went to the barber and we decided to like leave my hair a little longish, which he likes. And I was like, oh, but it looks so puffy. I look like a Q-tip. And then he used it on my head and I was like, give me that. How much
Yeah.
did it cost? I will pay you whatever. Look how good I look. And he just gave it to me for free because
That's
he's
so
a nice
nice.
dude, but I have purchased several so that I can have them all over the house.
Yeah.
But yeah, that is my one thing I do is I do moisturize my hair and use my twisted up
So I'm glad
comb.
to know that we're both hair people. It's like the one
Yes.
thing. It's like I don't need to
Yes.
like shower every day, but my hair would
Yeah,
like
no.
nice look nice. Now, with the twisted up comb, can you do it like, is there a certain length of natural hair that it works best on, or like even if you had a little bit longer, because I'm seeing like these guys who have a little bit longer hair using it, but like is there a limit as to like what
I
length
don't know.
it works best on?
Well, so when my hair is first growing out, there needs to be something for it to grab a hold of.
Yep.
So I have to have like a minimum length. But I don't know, because usually I get so nuts. I get driven so crazy by having any hair on my head that I've never let my hair get super long. I'm always like, and it makes my barber cry every time. But I usually go like 6 months and then I'm like, okay, Dre, please cut it all off. I would like to see my scalp again.
I
Uh,
love
but
that.
I don't know. Well, it I will chart my progress for you
Please.
since we are on lockdown and I refuse to cut my own hair.
That's
I'll let you
smart,
know.
though. That's smart.
Yeah.
You shouldn't be cutting your own hair. My husband just had me do like the four on the clippers the other day in the yard. And let me tell you, I didn't like the experience. I was like, also, because I definitely did it wrong. And I was like, looks good. But like, like he's like guy's hair grows so fast.
Yes.
And he doesn't really like it when it gets like all shaggy and like. And I was like, okay, I'll do it, but I can't do anything. Don't give me any like, I can't like switch it up. Like if you want like a four on the clipper, you're getting a four around the entire head. I'm
Yep.
not going like, I'm
Yes.
not giving you like a fade. So
Yes.
pick what you want and don't get mad at me. I didn't go to barber school. Like this is an actual skilled profession. Like don't, I can't just like
Yes.
get out here with a razor. And I imagine also for natural hair that like you have to be really careful. Like there's like a way, like a way and a direction in which to cut it so that it grows back looking like the way that you want it.
Yes. Yeah, I
It's,
can't fade my own hair. So if
yeah.
I cut it, I just have to use, I mean, this might scare you. I use like a one guard or even the little half guard and just like go all the way down
Wow.
to the wood.
A
But
reckless. I love it.
I know I live on the
You
edge
do.
of the razor.
Oh my God, we're going insane. It's like, we're like, ah, like Rubber Room, like laughing, like, oh my God, like pun.
I know. It's like talking to anyone who doesn't live in this house. It's like, oh my God, do you want to hear some bad puns? Want to hear some dad jokes? Want me to do my routine for you?
Yeah, do you want?
But
have you?
But yeah, cutting your hair at home is too tricky.
Yes.
I don't like it.
I'm with you. I'm so in awe of my friends who are like giving themselves bangs. And,
oh no, that's a bad idea.
And but they all look amazing. And so here's where I have to be like, look, you are older than 26. Like your, you know, frontal cortex has developed. Like, you know, like I tell myself, I'm like, you know, like when, if this was happening and I was 22, you don't even understand the hair that I would have. I would have already cut it with like a kitchen pizza shears and been like, it looks great. Or like been like, I can't believe it looks bad. Who would have ever thought that it would not have looked good? But now I'm like, you are a fully developed brain adult. Like, you know that, like, my friend Shannon cut her bangs. Well, no, I think she got them pre-pandemic. Well, she looks amazing. I think she might be trimming them. My friend, you know, Ariana Rebellini, she cut all of her hair off and she looks amazing. She just like literally put it in a ponytail and like chopped it, and I like had to like hide the scissors from myself because all my friends look so good and I know better. I would look horrible. And so it's the same thing. It's like Instagram influencers, like pandemic version, where everyone's like going like nuts on themselves, and I have to be like, you can't do that, Caroline. Like, correct. Like that does not work for you.
Because if you mess it up, you can't. I mean, there's no fixing it for you, a regular person who did not go to beauty school.
Right.
It's like, you can't fix it.
Right. And there's no YouTube video that can just.
Right.
I mean, there are, and that's why I won't search for them, because I'm sure there's like a really good one that I'm like, well, actually, I got good joke about my own bangs. Now, how is this pandemic going for your marriage? Like, what's it been like, if you want to tell me? Like, sum it up, because I'd love to talk about it for me too.
It's been fine. So my wife is a social worker in the public schools.
Okay.
And Michigan shut down schools. I like a few weeks ago they were like, we're done, and we're done until September.
Wow.
So, but here's the thing. My wife is a person who is like, she would go for a walk and a run in the same day, you know,
in like
a
maniac. Like,
she likes to be outside and do things. Mm-hmm. So like, it's been fine for me. It has been interesting watching her grapple with the inside life.
Yes. And are you like, welcome? Like, welcome to my...
Yeah. I'm like, look at what I do all day. Absolutely nothing. Like, hey, do you want to move? Do you want to sit over here now? And then go sit in this other place? Then we can sit over here. Then we can lie down in this room. This room has a laying down place. And she's like slowly going crazy. She's like, oh, you just move from room to room.
Like, now you're like, just going to sit in this chair? Because, and you're like, oh, well, yeah, I already sat in the other chair for 2 hours. Get with the program. It is.
So there's been a lot of cooking.
Nice.
And she has a garden, so she's done some planting.
Okay.
But for the most part, I think between us, it's fine. I do feel bad. You know, because it is hard. I do feel like a little guilt, even like on Twitter and stuff, when people are like, I'm going crazy. And I'm like, oh, this is my dream.
This is your default.
It's just to be inside. Yeah.
It's the same for us, actually. It seems like I am the you, and Dan, my husband Dan, is your wife, in that he but he like, so he's an outdoor person in that he really enjoys, so we have like an outside here in LA, and he's been gardening, and he likes to cook. So he's actually like in a good place, but we have like a really independent of each other sort of relationship, where we're like, we always are doing things separate of each other. Like, that's kind of why we got married in the first place, was we like, we operate the same. We don't, you know, we have friends for like different things that we like to do. And then he and I come together to do things that we like to do together. And now we're like, oh my God, you're the only person I'm hanging out with. We're like 6 months. And I was like, two TVs are like really great. We don't like anything. We do not watch the same TV.
Yeah.
I want to watch like scary like murder, like SVU calms me. I'm really into like, oh, like Hulu, I think specifically, like similar to Instagram ads, just like shows me things that like it thinks I want to watch. So every time I turn on Hulu, it's like Casey Anthony, like the Menendez brothers. And it's like every time I'm like, oh yeah. And Dan's like, no. So Dan's like in the other room watching like reruns of New Girl. And I'm in watching like some like weird like rape plot of SVU, being like, this is the only thing that brings me peace. And we've also been getting into the, so before we got married, you know how like they, people give their like partners like a watch, and then like, I don't know, it's something I saw on Pinterest. It's like you give them like a, I gave my husband like a groom's gift or whatever. But like I gave him a Nintendo Switch because he doesn't like, we wouldn't do anything with a watch. So now we're like, oh, we have the Switch. Like, we'll play Mario Kart. And I was like, can we please, like, buy Animal Crossing? Everyone's tweeting about Animal Crossing. I want to know about Animal Crossing. And he, like, made fun of me for a really long time. And then we bought it, and he has not given me back the Switch since. He will not stop playing Animal Crossing. And I was like, this was my idea. And he's like, I have to catch the fish. I'll be right back. And I'm like, all right.
Fuck you. See, that's a thing that won't happen with us, because we don't have a Switch. I'm not a video,
you're not a gamer,
game person. I'm not good. There's still at time, them, Sam. And I don't like to feel
like bad, you're bad. Yes.
When I'm like failing at something, so I'm, yep, like I got off that train a long time ago. But we have, like, Kirsten is like a read a book, go stretch outside kind of person. And I like to read, but if there's a TV option, I'm always going to pick that first. And so there's zero competition for things, because she's like, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to figure out how to make my own kombucha. And I'm like, you know what I'm going to do? Watch 8 hours of the same show.
They would get it
while
along,
sitting very still.
Yes, they would get along really well. I was like very excited to like for the prospect of going to the store, because I haven't been to the store in a week and a half, and like Dan won't let me go because he's like, we don't need to go. That's the whole point. But we're almost out of milk, and I was like, I'm gonna go to the store, but you need milk. And he's like, it's fine, I'm just gonna make oat milk like when we're out. And I was like, absolutely,
oh, no,
fucking not. You are no, gonna make oat, no, milk. But it's like, no, that's not fun. Once I got a sewing machine, and when I sat down at it for the very first time in my entire life and was not able to make my own clothes, I gave up. I was like, I don't want to like learn. I need to be good at it immediately, or else I like abandon ship.
Yeah. We're gonna unless I can make an actual outfit
on try one. Yeah, exactly.
I don't want to make a pillowcase. The first day I sit down, I want to make a full dress. Oh, I can't? Then I'm done sewing
then
forever.
What's the point? We're gonna take another quick break, and we will be right back.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Okay, we're back. Now that we're on the subject of TV, and I'm glad that you and I are both like self-proclaimed, yeah, sure, I could read a book, but what about television?
Yes.
What are, like, I am now in the mood, so I just spent $12.99 on Amazon Prime to buy The Craigslist Killer, which is one of my favorite Lifetime movies. It came out like maybe 9 years ago, because The Craigslist Killer was like, do you remember The Craigslist Killer? Like the actual story?
No.
Oh, it was a preppy medical student in Boston luring sex workers to hotels and murdering them. And it was what shut down the erotic job listings, or like classifieds on Craigslist, which sucks because sex workers should be able to work without the threat of being murdered by like a BU
Absolutely.
Medical student. And it like fucking blows that like Craigslist couldn't be like, how about we just make safer measures so that these people do not get murdered while just trying to do their jobs. But like the movie itself is delicious. Like such good Lifetime. It's like, here's some actors that like you don't know, like maybe you saw them in the background of like some other show you've watched. A tight 90 minutes. you get like kind of it, the Law and Order feel of it. Like there's a Baldwin in this one. Like I think it's Billy, and he just comes out of nowhere as like the Boston cop, which like chef's kiss. And then it's over. And, you know, you go about your life. You don't really think of it again until like 8 years later when you're in a global crisis and you're like, I really love to watch that again. So like I bought that on Prime. Super good. I bought this other one, or no, I had the one that was streaming is like this John Stamos one about, it's called The Two Mr. Kissels, and it's about these two brothers in the post 2008 crash who like scammed their like co-op board and like just stole all this money, and then one of the wives murdered one of the husbands by putting Rohypnol in his milkshake and then clubbing him with a candlestick. And I was like, yes, need to watch that. So I'm wondering, I need some trash. I want to watch trash. I want to watch something that I can also kind of be on my phone while it's on, you know, and mm-hmm. I'm not missing too much. Tell me what you're watching.
So I recently, because I never look at any of my like bank account information or PayPal,
love that.
It's stressful to see how much I'm wasting on things. Yeah. But I had to look for something. I had to find my routing number. So I was like, let me take a look through here, and saw that I was paying for CBS All Access.
Oh, so then I was did you watch an award show and forget?
I probably got it for either Survivor or Amazing Race.
Uh-huh.
I'm sure that's why I initially got it.
Love it.
So then I was like, let me see what's on here. Also, I did watch all of The Good Wife and like CSI when it was on. I guess I was already your grandmother 10 years ago because I was watching all these shows. So I was like, well, let's take a look at this and see what I've purchased for myself. And so I started watching the show Evil, which is, it's by the Kings who made The Good Wife and The Good Fight, which I also watched.
So good.
They do like that thing they do where it's like good and compelling and real, except there's like one tiny element of it that's like,
unbelievable.
Are you nuts? What is this? That like Evil has that times 10.
Okay.
It's about this guy. So if you watch The Good Wife and The Good Fight, you remember that like the drug dealer character, mm-hmm. Lamont. Oh, except he's also Luke Cage. So Mike Coulter, who's like a real star now, not just like the drug dealer from The Good Wife, plays this guy who's training to be a priest, and he and his, I want to say friend, but he and this other guy have been investigating kind of like hauntings and possessions, that kind of thing, to see if they're real. They link up with this woman who's a forensic psychologist, and then the three of them investigate hauntings, exorcisms, and they either try to debunk them as like, oh, no, you're actually like having a psychotic episode, or it's like, oh, wait, this is actually Satan and you are giving birth to Satan's baby. It is somehow like you're right in it and it's like super compelling and you're like, oh, my God, I have feelings for these people. But also there are like demons and Satan itself.
I love that.
It's incredible. There's only one season. You will watch the one season and then watch it again because it's so bonkers and good.
I love to do rewatches of things. So like anything that's
great.
Really primed for like once it's over, just sort of rewinding it to the beginning and starting again is like my cup of tea.
Yeah.
And
the new season of The Good Fight just came out.
Yes.
So
I'm doing a rewatch
of that. Oh God, it's so good.
It's so good. And I even think it's better than The Good Wife. Like I liked The Good Wife, but I love The Good Fight.
Me too.
I think it's just because Baranski is I just want her in every scene, and in The Good Fight, she kind of is.
Me
so.
Too. And her Marissa, the assistant,
yes.
who was like Eli Gold's daughter, whoever that actress is, put her in every show. Yes. I love her.
Incredible. I also want to say, I just really respect that you found out that you had been paying for CBS, and instead of just trying to cancel it and get your money back, you just found things to watch. Like, you were like, okay.
I mean, I have this. It's $5, which is why right. I didn't notice it. It's not like, you know,
yeah.
I don't know, like YouTube TV or whatever, which is like $50. Yeah. Like, it's $5. I'm like, oh, that's, it's like the same thing with like Microsoft Office and everything I signed up
yeah.
to use one time.
I pay for like stamps.com now, and I cannot figure out how to cancel it. So every yeah. month, and also like Planet Fitness, which, you know, got like a $20 donation from me for like years, yep. and I never went, which is their
me
exact
too.
Business plan. And I respect that too. So I'm like, all right, I'll pay you. But yeah, $5 yeah. is like, that's great. There's a lot of stuff that I pay yeah. way more for.
Yes.
So there's that.
That you get less from. Exactly. And CBS also, like, not to be a commercial for CBS, but they also have like Melrose Place, 90210,
yes.
Family Ties. Like, I they have a lot of that. Old 80s stuff that was like on NBC. I think like the Jeffersons. I mean, they have all kinds
incredible.
Of stuff that make your $5 worth it.
That's so funny, because while we're talking about this, and you were like, oh, I never look at my credit card. I'm like, I just went and like logged into Chase, and it's like, you missed your credit card payment date. And I was like, great. Amazing. I'm like, in a quarantine, the only thing I care about is my hair. Meanwhile, like, all of my payments are going into default, and I'm like about to lose my house. And I'm like, but my hair's clean. CBS is a great, once I pay this credit card bill, CBS is a great way to spend my next $5. Yeah. I feel like I could just, we've been talking for almost an hour, and I just want to talk to you forever, and I wish we could. But I'm too. So on May 4th, now, like, think we're going to air this episode after or like around the same time the G Thinks book club talks about Wow, No Thank You.
Okay.
I know there is a wealth of interviews that you've done, and I hate when people repeat the same questions over and over and over again. But is there anything that you would like to share, like, with the people in this community who have read your book? Any story that didn't make it in? Any kind of, like, I don't know, like, untold thing before?
I did have a story that didn't make it in because I didn't get around to writing it. But
I love that reasoning. That's fine.
And then I was like, oh, I gotta have something for another book, so I'll save it. But like a couple of months ago, I went to a restaurant in Detroit that I didn't think was fancy. At least Open Table didn't say so when I made a reservation, and they did not let me in because I was not dressed nicely enough.
Wow.
So whatever glamour you think is happening over here, whatever, nope, I am 40 years old. I mean, this truly was like a few months ago. Could not go eat $7 hush puppies at this restaurant because they didn't say which part. And it wasn't like, I don't know if it was one of those like kind of, you know how, well, at least this used to happen in Chicago a lot, where there would be like a restaurant that would turn into a nightclub at 11 p.m. and there's like a bouncer. Well, this was in the middle of the day. And while I was standing out there waiting for my friend to go get the car that we had parked, I'm standing with the bouncer, like, Googling everything about this restaurant I could find. People came out wearing shorts, and I was like, at least my pants come all the way to my ankles. I cannot believe that you won't let me in here. So I will write someday, like, what I want to write, like, what I think I have clothes for.
Good.
Like, do I have funeral clothes? Do I have anything in my closet right now I could wear to a wedding?
I love that. You know, I remember a thing that haunts me is there was an article a really long time ago before I turned 30, and I'm 30, almost 33 now, but there was an article that was like every kind of outfit that a 30-year-old should have in their closet or whatever. And I had none of them. It was like, it was like a first date, like a job interview, like a fancy mall. And I was like, I have jeans that do not have holes in them and many black leggings. So I would love to read that. I feel like that's the relatable content I'm looking for. And I'm sure the Do You Thanks book club will appreciate that. I'm so, so glad we made this work. And I'm really excited about the Tushy Travel Bidet, $29. Incredible recommendation. I'm going to start watching.
I really hope people buy it.
I think people will. No one can buy toilet paper right now. Like, this is a great recommendation. Like, our butts need to be cleaned. And there is a shortage in America. Samantha Irby, the author of Wow, No Thank You. Thank you so much for coming on G-Thanks. Just Bought It. And I hope you return again soon.
I will. Thank you, Caroline.
Okay, of course.